First, Tony Allen joins us for a look at the week in rural news. And Tony, a very tragic story this week about raw milk.
Yeah, so a three-year-old child has died in Victoria and four others became ill from after drinking contaminated, unpasteurised milk. Now, raw milk, as it is also known, isn't allowed to be sold for drinking, but can be sold as a cosmetic product for bathing, and sometimes it is sold as bath milk. Some people actually want it to drink, some people want it to make cheese, but it is illegal to sell it directly to the public. Anyway, a child has died, and the health authorities are calling for tougher regulations, and in some states they want a complete ban on the sale of unpasteurised milk. And one of the issues is that sometimes it's sold in bottles that look like normal drinking milk, even though they do have health warnings on them. And Helen Dornham from Dairy Australia says some people deliberately ignore those health warnings on the bottle, but others might just be confused.
So in this case, it is labelled not for human consumption. You can mount an argument to say that if it looks like the same product that is for human consumption, there could well be some confusion. To the extent we can remove that confusion, we would support that fully.
Now, supporters of unpasteurised milk are saying that there are some health risks, they can see that, but its popularity continues to rise. One of the places where they promote unpasteurised milk is in South Australia, where they have what's called a cow share scheme. Mark Tyler, one of the people involved in it, says consumers can drink more raw milk from cows they part own.
I've just heard so many testimonies of the health benefits, and the more you look into it, the problems that are caused by pasteurisation mean that a large percentage of our population can't drink it, and it's ridiculous. People have drunk milk for years.
Now, in New Zealand, it is actually legal for farmers to sell raw milk at the farm gate, and there's a limit to the number of litres per person. And so Australian National University PhD candidate Penny Wilson is looking into this. She's researching consumers' motives for drinking raw milk and the risks farmers are willing to take to produce it. And she says they've even got vending machines in New Zealand now, so you can get raw milk at any time of day. But she wants to know whether legalising raw milk would make any difference to the health of it.
I'm wanting to know exactly why people are choosing to drink raw milk, and I'm wanting to talk to producers to ask them about the risks that they're prepared to take in producing raw milk. And I'm also wanting to see if legalisation of raw milk would actually make drinking raw milk safer.
To another story now, and there's a bit of concern in Australia's pig industry about the potential Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Yes, yeah, still on food safety. Australia currently imports pork for small goods, including bacon. In fact, you'd be surprised at the amount of our bacon does come from overseas. But fresh pork is not allowed to be brought in for health reasons. Fresh cuts can carry diseases like porcine epidemic virus, and that's killed millions of American pigs. The Australian pig industry says the United States is pressuring the Australian government to accept fresh pork imports as part of that Trans-Pacific or TPP trade alliance. Deb Kerr from Australian Pork Limited says the US National Pork Industry Council wants Australia to relax its biosecurity protocols.
Our pig herd is a closed herd, and if those sorts of diseases got into Australia, then it could absolutely devastate our herd in Australia. It's a people welfare issue. Pork producers are very concerned about their pigs, and so they see it quite rightly as a welfare issue as much as a rules issue.
Someone's hoping to capture the enthusiasm for free-range chicken products.
Yes, a company called Santrev from Queensland is building a $32 million free-range broiler farm in South Australia's Riverland. It's going to house about 1.7 million birds, and presumably they will have room to roam.
Yes.
So that you're talking about a big farm here. But they already say they're looking for more sites around the country to build more free-range farms. Santrev Managing Director Luke Trevanian wants to tap into what he says is a growing demand for free-range chicken.
Free-range is growing at about 15% per annum at the moment, so we're really strong supporters of the free-range industry in Australia, and we're looking for further investments in South Australia, in Victoria and in Queensland at the moment.
Now, a bit of conversation over Twitter this week about what actually dredging the Murray Mouth at this early stage of summer means. However, those on the environmental side say it's a sign of the worsening drought.
Yes, $4 million is going to be spent dredging the mouth of the Murray River in South Australia, and it's a symptom of the new crippling drought that's gripping parts of eastern Australia. The Murray was blocked at the mouth for a long time during the Millennium Drought. Then the floods came, cleared it all out, but the dredging is back, about to start again. The blocked mouth is slowing flows very close to the Murray-Darling mouth and further up the river. Jonathan Lanose from the Australian Conservation Foundation says the problem is being worsened by the federal government taking a long time to obtain water for the environment.
The pace of recovery has really slowed, and that means when we get to the drier periods, there's not enough water there to keep the mouth open, and it really worries me about where we're heading. If we're heading into drought, if we're having to dredge at the start, what the end of the drought will look like is potentially very, very bad indeed.
Now, irrigators are also blaming the government, at least to some extent, but they're saying it's because they haven't kept up with water infrastructure and equipment. The chief executive of the National Irrigators Council, Tom Chesson, says both the federal and the South Australian governments must use the dredging to fix some of their mistakes.
Nothing has occurred down at the Lower Lakes since the Millennium Drought. There has been no upgrades of the almost 100-year-old infrastructure, which is the barrages. They're not even automated. We're still using technology that's almost 100 years old. There's a whole heap of infrastructure that could be looked down at the Lower Lakes, and it's not being done. So, yes, it is frustrating.
One of the outcomes of the Labor government getting into power in Victoria has been a change to grazing in alpine national parks.
Yes, it's not on anymore. The mountain cattlemen are partway through a trial of being allowed to graze on the high country. Labor says, though, it's going to deliver on its pledge to stop the grazing trial, which was initiated by the former coalition Victorian government. The mountain cattlemen are still lobbying for that trial to continue. The president of the Mountain Cattlemen's Association, Charlie Lovick, says continuing the trial would prove whether grazing does reduce fuel loads and the risk of bushfire.
A whole range of people from Hayfield, Gippsland, Benambra, all on that south side of the Great Divide, they are the people that have the major concerns with that big fire coming out from the northwest side through the Alps like it did in 03 and 06. And coming out like a raging bull on the other side. They are the people that we've got concerns for.
But the Labor government is not budging. The Environment Minister, Lisa Neville, says alpine grazing will not reduce bushfires, and in fact, she says studies show it could make them worse.
And they're off and running in the race to try to get some cash to fix those annoying mobile phone black spots.
Yes, if your mobile won't work because there's no reception, this is your chance to fix that. The federal government, as an election promise, had pledged $100 million to improve mobile coverage in so-called black spots. Earlier this year, it listed 6,000 locations across Australia which had inadequate reception. So that's not that much money to be divided between a lot of locations. So the bids are on to build new towers in black spot areas. And the Parliamentary Secretary for Communications, Paul Fletcher, says if your community is desperate for coverage, it might be best to lobby the phone companies now.
Community leaders and community members who are interested in making sure that there's the maximum chance for their town or village to get new coverage if it doesn't have it today. Certainly one place to go now is to engage with Telstra, Optus and Vodafone.
That's if you can wait long enough on the line for their call centre to answer.
Oh dear, and they actually know what you're talking about. Now, some interesting correlations between the plunge in commodity prices and, as you'd expect, the real estate in those towns.
Yes, we have discussed before the boom in real estate in mining towns. It got to the stage that in places like Karratha, people were buying shipping containers, converting shipping containers to live in at quite a price. Mm. That is not the case anymore. Over the past year, the price of a three-bedroom house in Port Hedland in Western Australia, the iron ore town, has fallen 25%, similar around Karratha. In Muswellbrook in New South Wales, where they mine coal, the prices have dropped 17%. Probably the most spectacular drops are in Queensland at Moranbah, where coal mining is heavily dominated by fly-in and fly-out workers. House prices are down 30% in a year.
They are scary statistics, aren't they? They're nothing light, really.
No, the work's not there anymore, and, well, let's hope on the brighter side that the rents have fallen as well, because they were outrageous. Mm. Louis Christian of SQM Research says property prices have been declining since late in 2012.
It just gets too risky when the fortunes of your property highly determined upon what's happening globally with regards to commodity prices. History has shown us with these towns that the good times can be great, but the bad times can be hell.
Now, forget Academy Award gift bags and special presents for world leaders. We have another idea.
Yes, packaged fruit has always been a big craze in Asia to give as a gift, but now a bottle of milk. It's not just Australians that are worried a little bit about milk safety. In Asia, a bottle of pasteurised, high-quality foreign milk is becoming used as a generous gift among the middle class. It sells for up to $12 a litre, and the Australian dairy companies are aware of this. They want to tap into the market, maybe gift wrapping or gift packaging some milk. Peter Skeen from Camperdown Dairy says his company is getting into the Chinese market and it's aiming to send 600,000 litres of fresh milk to China a month.
There's an interesting trend occurring that we're seeing now. In China, they're actually giving milk as a gift. They're seeing fresh milk as a luxury and gift giving. We've had a look at a very large distribution business over there that 60% of their sales, for example, is around gifts all year round.
Whole new spin on Christmas gifts too.
Yes, but you can't stick it on the shelf for a month and show it off. You've got to drink it straight away.
That's right. Tony, thank you.
Thank you.
Tony Allen with the week's Rural News. Of course, you can find all our news and features in one spot at abc.net.au/rural.